and stays here in Johnson County. All right, thank you so much.
Thank you.
And it's next Saturday from 1 to 4 if anyone wants to come and cheer us on.
And laugh.
And it's a lot of fun.
Very good. Thank you. I was going to ask you, how good are you before I make some kind of commitment there? Might need to be a flat fee. All right. Anything else? Yes?
Cindy's having hip replacement surgery tomorrow.
Oh.
Oh, my.
Okay.
Keep her everybody's prayers, if you would.
We will. Yes. And where?
Sheridan.
In Sheridan.
Okay. Yeah.
I'll be safe. Yes.
Should be jumping around doing cartwheels in here in a week.
We ask you that you will warn the congregation ahead of time.
It's a Pentecostal church.
Any other announcements? And let's gather our hearts and our minds to worship God. Please rise. Healing the sick and raising the dead, showering us with every good gift.
Amen.
Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Just and gracious God, we come to you for healing and life. Our sins hurt others and diminish us. We confess them to you. Our lives bear the scars of sin. We bring these also to you. Show us your mercy, O God. Bind up our wounds, forgive us our sins, and free us to love, for the sake of Jesus Christ our Savior.
Amen.
The Apostle Paul assures us, when we were dead in our trespasses, God made us alive together with Christ, nailing the record of our sins to the cross. Jesus says to you, your sins are forgiven. Be at peace and tell everyone how much God has done for you.
Amen.
grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Providence, your servant John the Baptizer was born to Elizabeth and Zechariah. Grant to your people the wisdom to see your purpose and the openness to hear your will, that the light of Christ may increase in us through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Please be seated.
Our first reading this morning is from Malachi 3, 1 through 4. See, I am sending my messenger to prepare the way before me, and the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple, the messenger of the covenant in whom you delight. Indeed, he is coming, says the Lord of hosts. But who can endure the day of his coming, and who can stand when he appears? For he is like a refiner's fire and like fuller's soap. He will sit as a refiner and purify of silver, and he will purify the descendants of Levi and refine them like gold and silver until they present offerings to the Lord in righteousness. Then the offering of Judah and Jerusalem will be pleasing to the Lord, as in the days of old and as in former years. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We'll say Psalm 141 responsively. O Lord, I call to you. Come to me quickly. Hear my voice when I cry to you.
Let my prayer rise before you as incense, lifting up my hands as the evening sacrifice.
Set a watch before my mouth, O Lord, and guard the door of my lips. Let the righteous strike me. Their rebukes, as oil upon the head, are not to be refused. Yet my prayers are continually against the deeds of the wicked.
Let their rulers be thrown down upon the stones, that they may hear my words, for they are sweet.
Just as one who tills the earth breaks a rock, so let their bones be scattered at the mouth of the grave.
But my eyes are turned to you, Lord God.
Guard me from the trap that they have laid for me, and from the snares of evildoers.
Let the wicked fall into their own nets, while I alone pass through.
Our second reading is from Acts 13, 13 through 26. Paul and his companions set sail from Patmos and came to Perga in Pamphylia. John, however, left them and returned to Jerusalem. But they went on from Perga and came to Antioch in Pisidia. And on the Sabbath day, they went into the synagogue and sat down. After the reading of the law and the prophets, the officials of the synagogue sent them a message, saying, "Brothers, if you have any word of exhortation for the people, give it." So Paul stood up and with a gesture began to speak. "You Israelites and others who fear God, listen. The God of this people, Israel, chose our ancestors and made the people great during their stay in the land of Egypt. And with uplifted arm, he led them out of it. For about 40 years, he put up with them in the wilderness. After he had destroyed seven nations in the land of Canaan, he gave them their land as an inheritance. For about 450 years, after that, he gave them judges until the time of the prophet Samuel. Then they asked for a king, and God gave them Saul, son of Kish, a man of the tribe of Benjamin, who reigned for 40 years. When he had removed him, he made David their king. In his testimony about him, he said, 'I have found David, son of Jesse, to be a man after my own heart, who will carry out all my wishes. Of this man's posterity, God has brought to Israel a Savior, Jesus, as he promised. Before his coming, John had already proclaimed a baptism of repentance to all the people of Israel. And as John was finishing his work, he said, "What do you suppose that I am? I am not he. No, but one is coming after me. I am not worthy to untie the thong of the sandals on his feet. My brothers, you descendants of Abraham's family, and others who fear God, to us the message of this salvation has been sent." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to St. Luke, the first chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Now the time came for Elizabeth to give birth, and she bore a son. Her neighbors and relatives heard that the Lord has shown his great mercy to her, and they rejoiced with her. On the eighth day they came to circumcise the child, and they were going to name him Zechariah after his father. But his mother said, "No, he's to be called John." They said to her, "None of your relatives has this name." And then they began motioning to his father to find out what the name he wanted to give him. He asked for a writing tablet and he wrote, "His name is John." And all of them were amazed. Immediately his mouth was opened and his tongue freed, and he began to speak, praising God. Fear came over all their neighbors, and all these things were talked about throughout the entire hill country of Judea. All who heard them pondered them and said, "What then will this child become? For indeed the hand of the Lord was with him." Then his father Zechariah was filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke this prophecy: "Blessed be the God of Israel, for he has looked favorably on his people and redeemed them. He has raised up a mighty Savior for us in the house of his servant David, as he spoke through the mouth of his holy prophets from of old, that we would be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us. Thus he has shown the mercy promised to our ancestors and has remembered his holy covenant, the oath that he swore to our ancestor Abraham, to grant us that we, being rescued from the hands of our enemies, might serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all our days. And you, child, will be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation to his people by the forgiveness of their sins. By the tender mercy of our God, the dawn from on high will break upon us to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. The child grew and became strong in spirit, and he was in the wilderness until the day he appeared publicly to Israel. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated. All right, I invite the children to come forward. I know we have a couple children here, and I am rather excited about that because I actually, here is the cool thing. So, do you like each other? Hello there. Good morning. How's the summer? Okay. Not quite as great as it could be. I brought my iPad with me, which I usually don't do in church, but this morning we want to do something interesting, I think. So if you just listen to the gospel reading, there was this question, what should the child be named? Zechariah, according to his dad, or John, what his mother first said and then his father confirmed. So I thought it might be fun to look what names mean. Do you know what your name means? You don't? You do? Ah, good. I looked up all three of your names, believe it or not, before we came in here. But we can still look it up. So you know what your name means, then we don't need to look it up. What does it mean?
The dude in the Bible.
That's a prophet. I love the description. Thank you. Let's see. But there is a little more to that than just Jeremiah. Jeremiah was a bullfrog and he was a prophet. So we know that. So we've got to figure out what exactly Jeremiah means. And so the internet tells us the name Jeremiah is a Hebrew baby name. In Hebrew, the meaning of the name Jeremiah is, may God be exalted. There you go. So it doesn't matter if you croak like a bullfrog or if you speak like a prophet. Whatever you do, may God be exalted. Shall we look up Tessa? Yeah, I looked it up. It's good. You okay with that? All right. Let's look for Tessa. There we go. The name Tessa is an English baby name. In English, the meaning of the name Tessa is abbreviation of Teresa, meaning the harvester or the countess. Wow. Those are two fairly different things, wouldn't you think? Harvester? You know what a harvester is, don't you? You live here in the middle of farming area. Yeah. And a countess. Callan? Ah, shall we look you up too? Yes. All right. Let's see. I looked you up too. And is it C-A-L-L-E-N? Oh, good. Then I got that right. All right. The meaning of the name Callan is powerful in battle. great warrior. Wow. You know that? You know that. Good for you. So all of us have important names to live up to, right? Because when our parents give us a name, they wish that for us. And so, mighty in battle, harvester or countess, may God be exalted, is what is to shape your life, that with everything you do, you are going to do what your name promises you can do. I think that's a pretty cool idea overall. So no matter if you're named John or Zechariah or Jeremiah or Tessa or Callan, our names are what our parents wish for us that we do with our lives. So let's pray. Dear God, we thank you for Jeremiah and for Tessa and for Callan and the great meaning of their names. We ask that you would guide all of us to live into our names, whatever wish they convey through our lives. Amen. Amen. Thank you. This was sort of fun. Any adults want to know? Talk to me later. Or look it up yourself. It's very easy. Google. Google knows everything. So will you pray with me? May God grant that only the truth will be spoken here, and only the truth will be heard. In the name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. So while there is neither a birth certificate nor an official record of his birth, the church has celebrated John the Baptizer's birthday on June 24 for as long as records have been kept. 6 months before the birth of Jesus, John was born, tradition says. John, who, according to St. Luke's Gospel, recognized Jesus in Mary's womb, while he himself was still safely tucked away in his mother Elizabeth's womb. John's birthday is observed just after the summer solstice, just after the longest day of the year, as the days and the light begin to wane again. In the same way as Jesus is born just after the winter solstice, the shortest day of the year, when the churn of the earth brings us longer days and more light again. I must decrease so he can increase, the baptizer is said to have said in regards to Jesus. And with Jesus as the light of the world, the days and the light grow larger with Jesus and shorter with John. John was not the light. As much as the people of his days were wondering about that, but he came to testify to the true light which had come into the world with the birth of Jesus. John the Baptizer's life and ministry is often called the bridge between what is old and what is new, between the Old and the New Testament, between the Old Covenant and the New, the last of the great Old Testament prophets, in line with Isaiah and, yes, Jeremiah, and with Ezekiel and Malachi, yet being written about in the Gospels, in the New Testament. Well, while he is the last of the Old Testament prophets, theologically, he's also the first to point to Jesus as the new covenant that God is making with the world, the pointer to the one that is to come, pointer to the one whose life will bring his own life to fruition and fulfillment. Truly, the bridge between the two traditions of our faith, the Old Covenant and the New. We often forget how similar their lives were and yet how different. Neither of them had a roof over their head during their years of ministry, nor John the Baptizer out there at the Jordan living a life of utter asceticism and surviving on a starvation diet of locusts and wild honey. Nor Jesus, who famously told a prospective disciple that foxes have holes and birds have nests in the trees, but that the Son of Man has nowhere to call home. Both John and Jesus gathered disciples around them. And when you read the Gospels with an ear careful to nuances, you will hear that at times there was a rivalry between John's disciples and those of Jesus. The Gospels leave no doubt that Jesus was the Messiah. Even have John say it again and again. But there must have been unease, questions, and again, when you read the Gospels carefully, you can still hear them. Are you the Messiah? People asked John at the Jordan, and he demurred. But his disciples were not always so sure. Just look at the baptizing activity that he had started out there at the Jordan. And while he was at it, John preached repentance. Make that, yelled repentance at them and chewed them out as broods of vipers. He preached baptism and new beginnings, and each and every one who came from Jerusalem down to the Jordan, he reminded how their baptism made them new people, people of God, people ready to claim their history as God's people once more. In comparison, Jesus seems tame. He preached the reign of God, but told people to leave the saving to God and simply live into the grace that God gives us. John crossed the street when he saw a sinner. Jesus asked him if he could have dinner at his house. Again and again, John hands to Jesus the axe to cut down the rotten tree. And again, Jesus lays it back down. When John thought he could usher in the reign of God, Jesus said, "It's already there among you. And all that is needed is for you all to keep growing it." If Jesus' ministry was demanding and difficult, it was nothing in comparison to John's, who tried to get everything ready for the Messiah. And then the Messiah turned out so different from what he had expected. Can you imagine being John? Are you the one who is to come, or shall we wait for another? He asks Jesus, at a time when he was sitting in prison on orders of Herod, who will sooner or later ask for John's head. Not too much later, Jesus will share a Passover meal, remembering the liberation from Egypt with his disciples, walk out to the Garden of Gethsemane, and be arrested and tried for his life. Two lives who, in fervent mission and fervent ministry, try to bring the reign of God to people. Two lives so intertwined and yet so different, both ending violently at the hands of authorities who are so threatened by these men's respective ministries that their ability to inflict the death penalty is unavoidable. It doesn't matter if they were truly blood cousins by birth. They most certainly are cousins in everything else, in life and in death, and in the ministry they shared for the people of God. What is it that comes to an end with John? It is a life in which correctness of conduct determines your entire relationship with God. It is a life in which rules and regulations, written and developed with the best of all intentions, have codified all interactions with God. All prayers, all sacrifices. You couldn't come before God just as I am without a plea, as our ELW hymn says. You had to come washed and showered, ritually cleansed, and with the correct, unblemished animal for sacrifice in tow. You had to come with the right words and the right spirit. And this all gets thrown to Jesus, who approaches his Father in the most profound, most personal prayers imaginable. Who tells people that what was required of them was not to follow all the details of the Levitical law, but to love God and to love one's neighbor. That with God there is grace and, more importantly, abundance. That there is potential and creativity for the future. For no future, no matter if it included the ritualized Jerusalem temple or not, no future would ever be without God. This is the kingdom, Jesus would say to all who care to hear. Not what you are holding on to, but what is being offered. Not the past, but the future. Not what you have, but what will be. John had a crisis of faith when he heard that. And who could blame him? All of his life, all of his arduous ministry, he had been looking for someone yet more perfect than he was. Someone yet more ascetic than he. Someone yet more fervent than he. Someone yet more meticulous than he had been his whole life. And along comes Jesus, who instead of starving himself, feeds 5,000. Who instead of chastising women, has long theological conversations with them. And who even says to the most misogynistic of all characters in the scriptures, Simon, to leave a woman alone. Who pours an entire bottle of perfume over his feet to anticipate his burial. Leave her alone, Jesus said, perhaps the kindest words ever spoken in the scriptures. Leave her alone. She has acted the purest of all intentions. With generosity and love and kindness, leave her alone. It doesn't matter if this was socially acceptable or not. For a good 2,000 years now, the church has struggled with the two ways of understanding our relationship with God, ritualized or free and open, bound to laws or open to grace, rooted in the past or liberated for the future. Each denomination, every church, every congregation tries to find its own way through this challenge. Sometimes by hiding in the past, sometimes by moving forward without giving enough credit to the roots that have anchored us. But John points to the future, even if he is baffled by how it looks like. John points to Jesus, who is willing to break the rules in the book to liberate us for a future with hope. John says, I must decrease so he, Jesus, can increase. What is it that roots us, and what is it that we are open to? In our lives, in our ministries, are we John people or Jesus people? Are we looking to the future or to the past for answers to our most urgent questions? John points to Jesus in a ministry that is no different than the ministry that each and every one of us has been baptized into. to point with our whole life to Jesus, light of the world, and guide and companion on all our roads in life. Amen.
He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Church in every place, praying for the world that God so loves. Holy God, you send messengers to purify and refine your people, and your hand was with John, who prepared the way for Jesus. Renew and embolden your church to share the message of salvation by the forgiveness of sins. Let the youth of our churches hear your love for them as they gather in Houston this coming week. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Holy God, maker of heaven and earth and all things within them, bless this summer season and make us faithful stewards of your abundant provisions. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Holy God, you do not leave your people defenseless. Guide the leaders of the nations so that they will be people after your own heart who carry out your wishes. Guide our feet into the way of peace. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Holy God, by your tender mercy, the dawn from on high breaks upon us. Give the light of hope to those who sit in darkness and the shadow of death so that they know your steadfast love. We pray especially for those we name now.
Esther.
Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Holy God, watch for this community of faith and guard our hearts, minds, words, and actions. Inspire our youth to grow in faith. Keep in your care those who travel, those who are moving to a new home, and those who have no home. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Holy God, we pray for Cindy's surgery tomorrow. We pray for the surgeons who will do the surgery, and we pray for Cindy's body to mend. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Holy God, you have looked favorably upon your people and have raised up a mighty Savior for all in Jesus. Raise us up on the last day with all those who have died in Christ. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
By the sure guidance of your Holy Spirit, O God, we lift up our prayers in trust and thanksgiving through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
The peace of the Lord be with you always.
And also with you.
Let us exchange a sign of God's peace upon us.
Thank you.
Let us pray.
God of mercy and grace, the eyes of all wait upon you, and you open your hand in blessing. Fill us with good things at your table, that we may come to the help of all in need, through Jesus Christ, our Redeemer and Lord. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
Holy, mighty, and merciful Lord, heaven and earth are full of your glory. In great love you sent to us Jesus, your Son, who reached out to heal the sick and suffering, who preached good news to the poor, and who on the cross opened his arms to all. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." And again, after supper was over, he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Remembering, therefore, his death, resurrection, and ascension, we await his coming in glory. Pour out upon us the spirit of your love, O Lord, and unite the wills of all who share this heavenly food, the body and blood of Jesus Christ, O Lord, to whom, with whom, and with the Holy Spirit be all honor and glory, now and forever.
Amen.
Lord, remember us in your kingdom, and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
The bread is broken, the wine is poured. These are the gifts of God for the people of God. Please be seated.
Thank you. body of Christ bred for your journey. The body of Christ bred for your journey. Will you please rise?
The body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace.
Amen.
Let us pray. O God, as a mother comforts her child, so you comfort your people, carrying us in your arms and satisfying us with this food and drink, the body and blood of Christ. Send us now as your disciples, announcing peace and proclaiming that the reign of God has come near. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord's face shine upon you with grace and mercy. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace.
Amen. Amen.
Proclaim the good news.
Thanks be to God.
She is doing much better.